Have you ever opened up your Bible and you're ready to dive in, you're excited to learn, and then you just get totally lost?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it can be so daunting.
For sure.
So today we're taking a deep dive into some really effective strategies to make engaging with the Bible easier and honestly more enjoyable.
Fun, even.
Yes, fun, exactly. And this expert we're learning from is clearly passionate about helping people unlock the wisdom of the Bible. And I think one of the most valuable things he starts with is translations.
Oh, absolutely.
There are so many out there.
Yeah, where do you even begin, right?
I know, and it can feel overwhelming. And he starts with this funny story
Yeah.
about struggling with the King James Version, and specifically the phrase, bowels of the saints.
Okay.
Like, what?
Wow, yeah.
That's a little
That's
much.
a little
It's
much.
just not how we talk anymore.
Right.
And it makes you realize how much language has changed over time.
Definitely. And I think that's one of the biggest hurdles that people have. You know, we don't speak like they did back in the 1600s. So why would we expect to read a Bible that sounds like that? You know?
Exactly. And he encourages people to choose a modern translation that uses language they can actually understand,
Yeah.
like the NIV, the NLT, the NKJV, or the ESV.
Yeah, those are all great options.
Yes. And it's interesting, he doesn't just say, like, pick a modern translation and leave it at that.
Yeah.
He actually breaks down, like, the strengths of each one,
Oh, wow.
which I found really helpful. So the NIV, for example, is known for its balance of accuracy and readability,
Okay.
while the NLT prioritizes clarity and natural sounding language.
Right, so it just kind of depends what you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the best takeaway is he emphasizes that the best translation
Yeah.
is ultimately the one that resonates most with you,
Yeah.
the one that makes you want to keep reading and exploring.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Because if you're not enjoying it, you're not going to stick with it.
You're not going to stick with it.
Right.
Okay, so we've got our translation sorted.
Okay.
Now, how do we actually make Bible study a regular habit?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, right?
Right.
Well, he has some really practical advice here.
Okay.
He stresses the importance of finding a consistent time and place for study,
Okay.
even if it's just for a few minutes each day,
Okay.
and creating a simple plan.
So, like, don't overwhelm yourself.
Right, exactly. Start small, be consistent.
Okay.
And he even suggests having a designated Bible study mug
Oh, I love that.
or finding a comfy spot in your home that becomes your go-to space for connecting with God's word.
It's like creating that little ritual.
Exactly. It's
Yeah.
all about creating an environment that feels inviting and helps you focus.
Okay.
He's big on routine, you know, and even points out that research backs this up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, our brains are wired to form habits, so having a consistent time and place for Bible study can actually make it easier to stick with it.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I like that he's not rigid about how you approach it. Like, he encourages people to use whatever tools work best for them. So whether it's a traditional paper Bible, an audio version, or a digital app like YouVersion,
Right.
there's so much flexibility.
Yeah, he's really emphasizing that you find a method that fits your learning style and helps you engage with the text actively because it's not just about reading the words.
Yeah.
It's about understanding the message and how it applies to your life.
Right. And speaking of understanding the message, he brings up something super crucial:
Okay.
context.
Oh, yes, context is king.
And he tells this pretty funny story about being misidentified while having dinner with his daughter
Okay.
to illustrate the point.
I love that he uses humor to kind of make it memorable.
Yeah.
So what happened?
Well, sometimes you just get things wrong.
Yeah.
And he uses this example to show just like taking a sentence out of context can completely change its meaning.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Approaching the Bible without understanding the historical and the cultural and the literary context
Yeah.
can lead to all sorts of misunderstandings.
Yes, interpretations for sure.
Exactly. He really emphasizes that the Bible isn't just one book, it's a collection of 66 books
That's right.
written over centuries and across different cultures.
Yeah, it's like a whole library.
It is a library.
Yeah.
So it's essential to understand the who, what, when, where, and why of each book to really grasp its message.
Yes.
And to demonstrate this, he dives into the context of one specific book in the New Testament.
Okay. So,
Philemon.
Philemon.
Now, for those who might not be familiar with the structure of the Bible, the New Testament is the second part, and it focuses on the life and teachings of Jesus and his followers.
Right.
So this book of Philemon is a short but powerful letter written by Paul,
Okay.
who was one of the most influential figures in early Christianity.
Yes.
He wrote a lot of letters that became part of the New Testament.
Okay.
But Philemon is unique because it's very personal.
Oh, okay.
It's not a theological treatise or a sermon.
Uh-huh.
It's a letter written from a friend to a friend.
Gotcha.
And understanding that context is key to really grasping the message.
Okay, so who is this Philemon guy?
So Philemon was a wealthy Christian leader.
Okay.
And likely a slave owner. And the letter revolves around a runaway slave named Onesimus.
Wow. Okay, so this is where the historical context gets really interesting.
It does.
Because slavery was deeply ingrained in Roman society at that time. So we need to approach this story with sensitivity.
Absolutely.
And an understanding of how different the cultural norms were.
Right, and he doesn't shy away from that at all.
Yeah.
He actually encourages us to wrestle with those uncomfortable aspects of the story.
Yeah.
Because it helps us see how radical and countercultural Paul's message really was.
So what is the message that Paul's trying to get across?
So in a nutshell, Paul is urging Philemon to forgive Onesimus, not just as a runaway servant, but as a brother in Christ.
Wow.
Someone deserving of respect and equality.
Okay, so he's like stepping outside of the cultural norms.
Yes.
To say this is what should be happening.
Yeah, it's a pretty bold request considering the social and economic implications.
And how would that have gone over?
I know. It's like he's saying, hey, throw out everything society has taught you about slavery.
Right.
And see this man as your equal.
Yeah, your brother.
Your brother.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this letter so powerful.
Okay.
It challenges the very foundations of their society and offers a glimpse into the transformative power of the gospel.
Okay.
Which transcends cultural norms and calls us to this higher standard of love and compassion.
Yeah, that's a powerful message for sure.
It is.
Okay, so we've got the context of the book.
Yes.
What are some practical ways to actually engage with the text itself? Because reading it sometimes just isn't enough.
Yeah, sometimes you got to go a little deeper.
Yeah, how do we do that?
So he suggests asking thoughtful questions as you read, rather than just passively taking in the information.
Okay.
So for example, he encourages us to ask, what does this passage reveal about God's character and nature?
Okay.
And then he takes a step further and says, what is God saying to me personally with this passage?
That's good.
And that's where things start to get really interesting and applicable to our lives.
Absolutely. He wants us to move beyond just understanding the text intellectually.
Right.
And actually allow it to speak to our hearts and challenge us to grow in our faith.
And I love how he balances this intellectual and emotional engagement by introducing this tool.
Okay.
Called the SPEC acronym.
The SPEC acronym. Okay, I've never heard of this one.
Okay, so what's interesting about this is it gives you a very structured way to analyze any passage of scripture.
Okay, that's helpful because sometimes it can feel overwhelming just to even know where to start.
Yes.
So what does SPEC stand for?
Okay, so it stands for sin, promise, example, command, and know God.
Okay.
And the idea is to go through a passage and look for each of these elements.
Oh, so you're kind of like looking for clues.
Yes, it's like a treasure hunt.
I love that.
So like what sins are being addressed, what promises are being made.
Okay.
What example is being set, what commands are being given, and what can we learn about God's nature and character?
Wow, that's a really cool way to kind of break it down.
It is. And I have to admit, when he first brought up the STEC method, I thought it sounded kind of academic.
Okay.
But then he started applying it to Philemon, and it all clicked for me.
Oh, wow.
It made Bible study so much more engaging and interactive.
That's awesome, because I think sometimes we can get bogged down in the, you know, the technicalities of it all and forget that it's supposed to be a living, breathing thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so are you ready for this?
Okay, I'm ready.
So he gets really excited about these two words.
Okay.
Formerly and but now.
Okay.
And he even did some deep research into the original Greek words.
Oh, wow.
He's clearly passionate about language and how it can reveal deeper meaning.
Yes, and you can tell he's put a lot of thought into this.
Yes, and what's fascinating is how he connects those two words to the very heart of the gospel message.
Okay.
Transformation.
Transformation, yeah.
He points out that formerly speaks to our past, our mistakes, our brokenness, while but now represents the new life, the new identity we receive through Christ.
Wow, it's like a divine makeover.
It is like a divine makeover.
I love that.
And he uses this formerly and but now concept to unpack the story of Onesimus.
Right, the runaway slave.
Yes, and his name, remember, means useful.
Yes.
And Paul cleverly plays on that meaning to highlight Onesimus's transformation.
Okay.
So he goes from being a runaway slave, someone seen as useless to his master, to becoming a beloved brother in Christ.
Yeah.
A valuable member of the Christian community.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's such a powerful picture of redemption.
It really is.
And it drives home the point that God can take our past, our mistakes,
yeah.
our formerly,
yes.
and use them to shape us into something new,
okay.
something useful for his purposes.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
And to make it even more personal and relatable, he shares a parallel from his own life.
Okay.
His daughter's story of struggling with chronic illness.
Oh.
It's a beautiful example of how God can take what seems useless and make it useful for his glory.
That's so powerful.
It is. And it's a reminder that we all have our formerly chapters.
Uh-huh.
But God is in the business of transforming them into but now chapters.
Yes.
Filled with hope, purpose, and growth.
That's a great place to pause and reflect.
It is.
What stands out to you so far?
I'm really struck by how practical and accessible he makes Bible study.
Yeah, me too.
It's not about being a scholar or having all the answers. It's about engaging with God's word with an open heart and willingness to be transformed.
I love that.
We've covered a lot of ground, but there's so much more to explore.
I can't wait.
So in the next part of our deep dive, we'll delve deeper into how this expert uses the book of Philemon to unpack the transformative power of the gospel and its implications for our lives today.
I'm ready.
Awesome, me too.
So welcome back. I'm so curious to hear what else he has to say about Philemon.
Yeah, me too. I feel like we left off last time talking about those two words formerly and but now, and how they relate to that transformation. And I was really impressed by his research into the original Greek.
Yeah, that was cool. He really dug deep.
He did. And it shows how much a single word can hold so much depth and meaning.
For sure, for sure.
And he's not just interested in wordplay. He's showing us how those words point to something so much bigger, like the idea that God can take our past, our brokenness,
right,
our formerly,
yes,
and create something new and beautiful out of it.
Exactly.
And the story of Onesimus is such a good example of that.
Oh, absolutely. His name means useful, and Paul uses that meaning to highlight the transformation.
Right, from runaway slave to valued brother in Christ.
Yeah.
Such a powerful example of how God can redeem even the most difficult situations.
Yeah. And you know, when he brings in his daughter's story,
yes,
it adds this whole other level of meaning. Like, remember when he talked about being mistaken for having a romantic dinner with his daughter?
Yes.
Such a funny way to illustrate context. But then it takes on this deeper meaning when he shares about his daughter's struggle with chronic illness.
Yes. And that's when the formerly and but now theme becomes really powerful.
Okay.
Because he explains how she could have let her illness define her, but she chose to allow God to use it to shape her character and give her purpose.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
It is. And it's a reminder that our stories are still being written.
Yeah. You know,
we all have those formerly chapters, mm-hmm. those times of struggle or hardship, but God is in the business of transforming them.
Absolutely.
Into, but now, chapters filled with hope and possibility.
Yeah. I love that. And he asks us to look for those but now moments in our own lives.
Yes.
You know, what has God transformed in us?
Yeah. What challenges have shaped us and brought us closer to him?
That's a great question to ask ourselves.
It is. And he doesn't just leave it as this theoretical concept.
Yeah.
He gives all these examples of transformation from people who have experienced healing and freedom from addiction and restored relationships.
Yeah, those incredible but now stories that testify to the power of the gospel.
It's so inspiring.
Yeah, it really is.
And he makes the point that the gospel isn't just a set of beliefs. It's a force that can radically change our lives from the inside out.
Yes, and he extends this invitation to anyone who hasn't experienced this kind of transformation yet.
Right.
You know, inviting them to step into a but now chapter marked by forgiveness, hope, and new life.
It's a beautiful invitation, and I love how he weaves it into the story of Philemon.
Yeah.
It's not just an ancient letter. It's a living testament to the power of the gospel to break down barriers and create something new.
I love that so much.
It is beautiful. And ultimately, he reminds us that the Bible isn't just this ancient text to be studied.
Yeah.
It's a living word.
Right.
That has the power to speak to us.
Yeah.
Guide us, transform us.
I love that.
So he ends with this powerful call to action, encouraging us to open our Bibles, engage with God's word, and allow it to shape our hearts and minds. What did you think of that?
Oh, I thought it was so moving. It's one thing to hear about Bible study techniques, but it's another thing entirely to feel the passion and conviction behind his message.
Yes.
He genuinely believes that engaging with the Bible can change our lives.
Yes, and you can tell he lives out what he teaches.
Right.
That authenticity shines through. And it just makes me want to dig deeper, you know?
Me too.
To explore that power of God's word in my own life.
Yeah. And I think that's the mark of a really impactful teacher, you know?
Yeah.
Someone who inspires you to not just learn, but to actually live out what you've learned.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, what else stood out to you from the source material?
Well, one thing that I really liked was his emphasis on the personal nature of Bible study.
Yeah.
It's not just about acquiring knowledge. It's about developing a relationship with God, allowing his word to speak to our hearts and guide our steps.
And that's so important. And he doesn't shy away from the fact that it's a journey.
Right.
And sometimes a challenging way.
Oh, for sure.
There will be moments when we feel lost or confused.
Yeah.
But he encourages us to keep seeking, to keep asking questions, and to trust that God will meet us in those moments.
That's good advice.
It is. And he also reminds us that we don't have to do it alone.
Yeah.
There are so many resources available, commentaries, study guides, online communities.
Oh, yeah.
That can help us understand the Bible more deeply and apply its truth to our lives.
It's like having this whole team of cheerleaders and coaches.
Yes, encouraging us along the way.
I love that.
And ultimately, it's about discovering the joy of encountering God through his word.
Yeah.
And allowing that encounter to transform our lives.
That's beautiful.
So welcome back. It's been a really insightful deep dive.
It has been.
I don't know about you, but I've learned so much.
I feel like my mind is like blown wide open.
Right, about how to engage with the Bible in a more meaningful way.
Yeah, like I feel like I have actual tools now.
Yes, and I think one of the things that's been most inspiring is this expert's passion for helping people experience the power of the gospel.
Oh, yeah. You can tell he really believes in what he's teaching.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And he's not just talking about it. He's sharing stories of people whose lives have actually been changed by God's word.
Right. It's not just theory. It's like real life.
Exactly. And before we wrap up this deep dive, I'd love to revisit some of those key takeaways.
Okay.
And even brainstorm ways we can apply them to our own lives.
Okay. Sounds good.
So what has really stuck with you?
Well, you know that thing about making Bible study a habit, even if it's just for a few minutes each day?
Yes.
Like finding that consistent time and place.
Right. Remember he talked about the Bible study mug?
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Like creating that little ritual.
Yeah, like a sacred space.
Right, in your home to connect with God's word.
Yeah. And he talked about how our brains are wired for habits.
Mm-hmm.
So like if we can make it a routine, it actually becomes easier.
It does. It makes sense.
And I like that he wasn't picky about like the methods.
Yeah.
Like whether you use a paper Bible or an audio version or an app, like, you know, I use YouVersion all the time.
Yeah, me too. It's so convenient.
That's great.
So it's all about finding what works for you.
Exactly what fits your style.
Right. And then there's the SPEC acronym.
Oh, yeah, that was cool.
Which I thought was so helpful.
Me too. It's so simple, but so effective.
It is. It's like having a roadmap for exploring the text.
Yes. And you remember all those things. Sin promise, example command, know God.
Yes. It helps you see those different layers of meaning.
Yeah, and connect the dots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he even encourages us to be a little playful with it.
Oh, yeah. Like, don't be afraid to ask questions.
Right. Like you said, don't just read the Bible. Wrestle with it.
I love that quote.
It's like having a conversation with God.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. And those two questions were so powerful, too.
Oh, yeah. The ones about what the passage reveals about God.
And what God is saying to me personally.
Right, because it makes it personal.
It does.
It's not just about head knowledge. It's about heart transformation.
Absolutely. And I think the whole formerly and but now concept was so impactful.
Me too. It's so powerful.
Like how God can take our past and create something new and beautiful.
And the story of Onesimus is such a great illustration.
Right. From useless to useful.
Yeah. Wow.
It reminds us that we're not defined by our past, but by God's grace.
And I love how he tied in his daughter's story.
Yes, that was beautiful.
About finding purpose in her pain.
Yes.
It shows that our stories are still being written.
They are. And God can use those difficult formerly chapters.
Right.
To shape us and help us grow.
Yeah, so good.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with this thought.
Okay.
How might your story change as you continue to explore God's word?
That's a great question. What formerly chapters are waiting to become, but now chapters filled with hope and abundant life?
That's a powerful image to hold on to as we continue on this journey of discovering the Bible.
Yes, and thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
We hope this has inspired you to take a fresh look at God's word and experience its transformative power in your life.